So, it's kind of the start of something new. Got a new year, got a new me. You know, and hopefully it's kind of a new for you too, right? Is that, you know, New Year's are kind of a funny thing, right? Because, you know, when you think about the idea of a new year, is New Year like Happy New Year, or is New Year just kind of like, well, it's another year, right? And it's different for all of us. Because, you know, I think that I kind of like the idea of New Year. I don't think anything magic happens when you turn the page of the calendar from the 12/31, the 1/1. But I do believe that as human beings, we have a cycle to us, and we use triggers to kind of go through a cycle. And I think New Year's are a chance to do that. Now, Bonnie and I have talked a bunch over the years that for her, kind of September was when things were new. And you go back to school and things are a bit different. But the world at large apparently doesn't agree with my wife. Apparently 12/31 is the end of 1 year and 1/1 is the start of the next. But what do you do when New Year happens? Like, how do you go about things? I know that for me, I'm a person who likes to kind of reflect a little bit. Like, what happened last year? And, you know, what are the things that went well last year? What are the things that maybe I wished would have gone a little differently last year? And, you know, to be honest, last year was a kind of tough year for me. I had planned to be where I was at, honestly, for the rest of my working life, and then kind of realized that that wasn't really fit anymore. And that was a challenging time for me. You know, and we all have kind of challenging times in our life. You know, and I was thinking about this, that for me, as I look back on the previous year and reflect on it, my reflections often don't stop just in that year. As I start kind of thinking about the things that maybe didn't go the way I wanted to last year, I sometimes start remembering the things throughout my life that didn't really go the way I wanted to. And do you ever have those moments in your life where you kind of look back and you go, geez, you know, things went really wrong there. I made these mistakes. You know, there were opportunities right in front of me and I didn't even take them. But then you go, hey, wait a minute. But man, if I knew then the things I know now, then that wouldn't happen. If I could just go back and do things differently, I wouldn't have those regrets. Because that's kind of what we're saying. That our regrets seem to be catching up with us sometimes. And what I mean by that, not that our regrets are that meaningful, but and I don't want to say they're not meaningful, my point is that regrets are often just these things that go on in our mind that start to really hold us back. And so with that in mind, I want to ask you a question about your regrets. Please don't answer me out loud. If you reflect on your life and you look at the regrets you've experienced in your life, are all of those way in your distant past? Like, you know, the last 20 years, I haven't missed anything. Or do we have regrets that kind of come through our lives? That sometimes, you know, even as we get older, even as we have more experiences, we still find ourselves making mistakes or missing opportunities or having things that happen that lead to regrets. And my bet is that many of our more recent regrets have something in common with our old regrets. And I'm going to actually make a prediction. My bet is that many of us still have regrets to come. Right? We're going to make mistakes as we go forward, no matter how old we are. We will make mistakes, we'll miss opportunities, we will do things that eventually will become regrets. And will any of those future mistakes, any of those future regrets, will they have anything to do, will they have anything in common with our past regrets, our past mistakes? Odds are they will. Why? Because we're kind of the same person. As we go through our lives, we tend to adopt a specific mindset. We tend to have a specific outlook. We tend to have consistent behaviors. You know, in many ways, I'm very different than I was when I was younger. But I am, you know, I don't want to say this on video. I'm getting old, right? I'm getting old. And I still talk too fast. I will tell you, when I was in third grade, they were telling me that you got to slow down when you talk. And I said, I'll try. Clearly, I haven't slowed down yet, right? A funny story, when I was in high school, we had to do a 10-minute talk. I got done in 6 and they gave me credit. Like that, I'm not even making that up. I am not, that is an actual experience in my life. So the goal is that we want to grow in our lives. Because there's a truism that I think really captures something that we all deal with. And you've almost definitely heard this at some point, right? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. How many of us do that? How many times does that happen? Because the reality is that we just have a way of going about things. And here's a real truth about life. Most of us want different outcomes sometimes. We want things to be different in the end, but we keep doing the same thing. We keep treating people in our lives in similar ways. We keep looking at ourselves in similar ways, sometimes in not the most healthy way. And what we find is as we do that, we start living our life on what I call repeat. It's like someone's just hit the repeat button on life, that this year ends up being just like last year, and next year ends up like this year. And next thing you know, we're kind of further in our lives and think we thought things would be different by now, and they're not. You know, whether it's challenges with debt that we get ourselves into, relational issues. We keep wanting different outcomes, but somehow we keep getting very similar outcomes. And so, is life required to be that way? Is that just how life is? And I don't think so. I don't think life has to be lived on repeat. I truly believe that life can get better over time. I know that life can get better over time. And even if last year was a pretty good year, doesn't mean this year can't still be a better year. Because one of the things that I think really adjusted my mindset is I often looked at life as this kind of thing to kind of get through. That you just got to get through today, you just got to get through this week, you just got to get through this exam or this job or this interview or whatever. And then someone finally opened my eyes to something. That life is not something to just get through. Your life is a story. At the end of your life, me or someone like me will stand up here in a service and try to capture the story of your life. And so what will that story be for each of us as we go forward? Because the people that we remember are the people who have the most amazing stories. And what we want to understand is that the story of our lives are rarely made up of a few really big events. The story of our lives is actually built each and every day. Right? Every interaction that you have with someone is writing part of your story. Right? Each action that you take is writing part of your story. Each time you reach out and care for someone, it's writing part of your story. And for me, this fundamental attitude, this fundamental idea of recognizing that we are writing a story with our lives opens us up to a whole new outlook. Because once we realize that we're writing a story, we can start to take control of that story. And I know that doing that is not easy, that sometimes what it feels like is that I'm not writing my story, but somehow my story is writing me. That there's kind of the story that feels like it's already written down, and it's just driving me somehow. And when that happens, if you've had a season in your life where it just feels totally out of your control, that's a tough season. You might be in one of those right now because things start to feel pointless. Things start to feel meaningless. We feel like there's just nothing we can do to change it. But I am certain that's not the case. And that's what I want to look at today is that how do we take control of that story? What's the mindset? What's the attitude? How do we need to, or what do we need to do to take control of that? And I think we get some really good insight from the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul is the author of the largest section of the New Testament. He wrote more of the New Testament than any other author. And we call these things books of the New Testament or books of the Bible. But what are they really? Right? They're letters. That what we call the books of the New Testament, the writings of Paul, are just letters to various churches who were dealing with something. So these letters are actually written to help people do something. And one of Paul's most significant letters is the book of Romans. The book of Romans is actually a letter that he wrote to a church located where? Oh, come on, it's interactive. Where? Rome. Yes, in Rome. The heart of the pagan empire. Yet it was a Christian church that was thriving. And it was growing. And things were happening. But they weren't without their challenges. That they had challenges from the outside, but they also had challenges within their ranks as well. But they were still growing. So in the book of Romans, Paul is addressing all this and trying to help them through it. And if you've ever read the book of Romans, you know there's a bunch of stuff in there, and some of that stuff is super, super dense. In fact, the book of Romans is so dense, I'm going to talk about exactly one verse today. And we're going to take that apart and see what we can actually apply in our own lives based on what Paul says. So this is from Romans 12:2. This is the first half of Romans 12:2. Paul says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by doing what? Changing the way you think. Now, to be clear, I don't believe that Paul is saying that you need to change who you are. I think he's saying the opposite of that. What he's warning us about, what he was warning his audience about, and we're kind of that audience, part of that audience, is that there's all this pressure around you. There's all this stuff flowing into you that's pushing you away from your true identity, who you really are, the things that you really want to do, that thing that you feel called to, or the way that you feel you should do something. And this comes from a lot of different areas. I mean, sometimes it's actually people kind of standing over us, telling us that we should do that differently, or you're doing that wrong. But a lot of it comes from other places, too. You know, when you kind of pull into your driveway and you look at your house and you see your neighbor building a bigger house down the road, you go, oh, if I just had that, things would be different. You know, or somebody drives by in a really expensive car and it's like, oh, if I had that car, it'd be different. And depending on the stage of life you're in, that can have really serious impacts, right? If you're kind of still in the working phase of your life, or you're still kind of trying to build your life up and buying things and acquiring things, what does that cause us to do? Overspend. The next thing we know, that thing we thought was going to fix us because we bought something we could kind of afford, sort of, suddenly it becomes a burden. You know, or we work too many hours. I mean, something I was guilty of for much of my life, just traveling and working all the time, because I thought if I just made more, it'd all be okay. But also, as we go on with our lives, right, all these influences can come from many places, right? Sometimes they come, again, from people talking directly to us. Sometimes there are things that go on around us. Sometimes the experiences in our life cause a very dark dialogue in our own mind. And we start putting ourselves down. What Paul's telling us is, don't chase all that stuff. Don't let all that stuff in. That stuff is actually trying to pull you away from who you are. Because if you don't learn to stop chasing that stuff, if we don't learn to stop letting that stuff in, it exhausts us. And our lives become something driven by discontent. That our actions that we take are trying to soothe the discontent inside of us, as opposed to proceeding with some kind of contentedness. That we're driven by volatility instead of stability. And Paul says that if we do those things, if we can learn to stop chasing those things, when he says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. He says, if we will do that, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is what? Good and pleasing and perfect. What Paul is telling us is that as you chase all these things, and as these things that pull you away from what you were created to be, you're not able to do the things you were meant to do, the things you were able to do. Because if you don't feel good about who you are, you're never going to be your best self. And so what Paul wants us to understand, that you individually were created by God on purpose, with a purpose. Your life has uniquely structured you to do things. Right? That you actually are uniquely created as who you are, but also you have a unique set of experiences. Lots of good experiences, probably a number of dark experiences or difficult experiences. And every one of those has actually formed you, uniquely formed you. No one else is like you. Which means that everything that you step into, everything that you do, every person you help, every time you interact with your family, you're going to do those things in a way that are uniquely you. But there's all this pressure to stop being that. And that's pulling you off the mark. That's keeping you from being all that you can be, to do all the things that you can do. And so Paul is saying that if you can find this, if you can discover this, you will do more, you will achieve more, you will feel richer, you will feel more content. And you will achieve more not by working harder, but by working as you were created to be. So what Paul is really saying is that to experience this kind of transformation, we need to kind of change the way we think about kind of a lot of things. For many of us, the place to start is to change the way we think about ourselves. Because why do these outside influences push us kind of off the mark? Because we don't feel like we're good enough. We don't feel like we do enough. We don't feel like we're valuable enough. Paul says, don't let that do that to you. So change the way you think about yourself. Recognize that you are valued by God, that you are loved by God, that we don't do the things we do to try to prove to God that we are valuable. God, through Jesus Christ, demonstrated to us that you are valuable, right? The birth of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, his crucifixion and resurrection. God says, this is how valuable you are to me. So I don't want you to go out there doing stuff trying to prove you're valuable. What God calls us to do is to trust him that we are valuable. And when we trust him that we are valuable, then we can go out and do big things, not to prove our value, but because we're able to be who we are, that we're able to work together, that we're able to get things done that make a difference. Now, I recognize that for many of us, that could be a really big mind shift. Many of us have gone through our whole lives trying to push back the darkness, trying to push back that dialogue that plays in our head. That when we were young, people said really harsh and horrible things to us. And they're not in our lives anymore, but somehow we took their place and we kind of say the same things to ourselves now. Paul says, don't let that stuff own you. Don't let it take over. Trust that you are good enough and that he has a plan for you and he will lead you in that plan. The thing is that we are the best version of ourselves when we live a life consistent with who we were truly created to be. But the thing I want to be really clear about, though, is that as we start to take better care of ourselves, and I think taking better care of ourselves is essential, that doesn't mean that we pull back from service. I kind of want to keep repeating that. In fact, for me personally, as I went through this process of getting healthier and kind of better understanding my relationship with God, and maybe more importantly, kind of understanding his relationship with me a bit better, I became more engaged with service because things that felt like a burden didn't feel like a burden anymore. Sometimes things that felt like a burden suddenly became joy because I was able to kind of be who I am. You know, Bonnie says to me all the time, trust who you are. Trust who you are. And that's what I want you to hear me say. Trust who you are. It doesn't mean we don't try to improve ourselves. It doesn't mean we don't try to grow. Of course we do those things. But trust who you are. Trust that God has a plan for you. Trust that you were created on purpose with a purpose. And through that, do good things, big things. I believe we will do big things together. One step at a time as we work together. But if we're going to have this kind of transformation that Paul talks about here, like changing the way you think, well, that seems kind of abstract, right? How do I do that? Right? Well, you want to be in connection with things. You want to be in connection with other people, and you want to be in connection with God. Right? Because as we go through a process of trying to say that I'm going to trust that God did not create me by accident, that God created me on purpose, with a purpose, I need to start interacting with other people differently in many cases, right? As I start to change the way I think about myself to lose some of the darkness, maybe we need to start to change the way we think about other people, to be a little bit less judgmental, to be more accepting, to stop wishing people were different than who they are. But maybe we learn to get along with one another as we are. Because I truly believe that we are the best versions of ourselves when we live as who we are. But if we try to do everything on our own, we'll only get so far. So how do we do more? We let other people be themselves, and we come together, and we work together to do more, that we use the gifts that we have, whatever phase of life that we are in, the gifts that we have with one another, accepting each other and trusting each other. Because if I can learn to be more comfortable with myself, and you learn to be more comfortable with yourself, and when we work together, as opposed to a tension between us, there's a cooperation between us. Instead of wishing that that person would just stop doing that thing, we can talk to them about it. Because there are going to be disagreements. But when we're comfortable with who we are, people can make a suggestion and we don't see it as an attack. It's just a suggestion. Right? That we are at our best. We are working with each other to serve each other and to serve others. So as we kind of look at this year ahead, I believe that if we can embrace that idea, if we can embrace this simple but not easy lesson of Paul's, we can now start to go out there and start to really bring transformation. I know our ages are spread across, and some of us are older, and we can't do lots and lots of things, but we can all do something. And if we work together, accepting each other where we are, saying that today is a new day, it is a new day for our church, it's a new minister who talks really fast. Come on, that's humor. Come on. Trying to lighten the tension up. Come on. You guys are getting really tense. I see you guys getting tense out there, which I guess is good. So it's a new minister who talks really fast, so fast people miss his jokes sometimes. There you go. There you go. There you go. Bonnie always says, they have to get used to you. Don't worry about it. Yeah. But the point is that if we can come together and recognize that this is a new start, this is a brand new start. I'm not saying anything was wrong with the old way. I am not saying that at all. But what I am saying is that it is 2024, and the world is different. And as Christians, we got a big job, because a lot of people have used a lot of Christianity to hurt a lot of people. And we need to be the ones to bring the light of Jesus out there. And in order to do that, we want to be in connection with God ourselves. And we want to support each other in our connections with God. And then we want to come together. And one of the things I want to really encourage you with today, I would encourage you to do today, make connection with God, active connection with God, a part of your everyday. To make it a point to pray every day. And it doesn't have to be hours long, you know, a minute, 2 minutes, right? Whatever connects you. But I'm going to ask you to do something that may be a little different. Many of us kind of pray as we're driving our cars or going somewhere or something like that. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, praying in your car, awesome, right? Praying when you've got some quiet time in a waiting room, awesome. But I'm going to ask you to actually incorporate specific prayer time. Just allocate 2, 3, 4 minutes where you're actually sitting down and praying. Because think about, like, if my wife and I, we go out for a drive. Yeah, we'll have a conversation in the car. That happens all the time. But where do serious conversations, deep conversations, meaningful conversations happen? They happen when talking to each other is what we're doing, right? Sitting across from each other at the table or sitting next to each other in a chair. And talking is what we're doing. I'm asking you to do that with God, to make praying with him what you're doing for at least a couple minutes each day. And be honest with him. You know, you can use kind of, you know, things like the Lord's Prayer and stuff to help you get connected. But also talk to him about what you're feeling. You've heard me say this before when I've been here. I tell God when I'm mad at him, and I've been mad at him a few times. And he listens to me. And he hears me. So be honest with God. Talk with God. Make it a point every day to take at least a minute or two to talk to God. But I'm going to ask you to go one step further. I'm going to kind of use the analogy of my wife and I again. If we sit down at the table and I do all the talking, how's that relationship going to go? Yeah, right, yeah. The lady's all like, yeah, yeah. Good luck with that, right? Yeah. Well, if all we do is pray, who's doing all the talking? Now, there are people I know, and many of us have had this experience, that when we silence ourselves and we quiet down, we do get that sense of hearing from God. But I don't think that's an everyday thing for most of us. So how do we hear from God? Look at his word. Now, I'm a person who just passionately loves to read the Bible. I do. I just love reading the Bible. But that's not everybody. Maybe you like devotionals better. You know, a daily devotional or just some devotional type book. But every day, take a minute and read something. Whether it's the Bible directly, if that works for you, or a devotional that you just like. Whatever it is. Make your relationship with God a conversation. God, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm hurting about. This is what I'm happy about. This is what I'm afraid about. This is what I'm mad about. And then seek his guiding in his word. It is freaky, for me at least, how often I'll kind of go through a prayer like that, start reading and be like, oh, wow, yeah, okay, I see where that's at now. So embrace that. Embrace that conversation with God. Because I firmly believe that a healthy relationship with your spouse or someone you've been together with for a long time is a model for how we connect with God. It really is. If you think of things that are healthy in a marriage, those things almost exactly match up with a relationship with God. So if you're not sure how to interact with God, think about how you interact with someone you love. And that's a pretty good model for how we do it. So my friends, I truly believe that we are in position to make a difference. All of us together. And as we come together, to look at this as a really new chance to kind of come off the starting block again and make a difference. I believe God will work in that. And I believe as we do that, each of us individually will begin to get healthier. But also, I think as a church collectively, we will get increasingly healthy. I'm not saying you're unhealthy. I'm just saying that we can all grow. And I think we grow the most when we grow together with one another. And I think if we do that, maybe we can start to make a difference in this little village that we're in. And then maybe make a difference in the city. And if enough of us do that sort of thing, we can actually start to change the world for everyone. Because I truly believe the church is intended to serve inside the church, but also serve well beyond the church. So that's what we're called to do. So that's my encouragement for us today. I believe we're off to a great start. I hope you believe the same thing.